We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to an episode of the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Carlo Navas, and today we're doing things a little different. Today's a locker room special. We did a locker room show today. I thought it was fun. I'm actually curious about what you guys feel about the audio. Hit me up on Twitter at MIA Heat Beat because we changed some things. I got to use my microphone for the locker room session, so I should sound a lot better than when I do it on my phone, so would like to know how you guys feel. But, you know, we talked about the Eric Spoelstra to Portland rumors. And I thought it was an interesting conversation about how we value coaches and how we look at front offices and draft assets and what really matters in building a team. So, we went a little long today. We went like 40-ish minutes, and I thought it was a good conversation. I had Jack Alfonso on, Alphonse Sidney, and Tiffany Meeks. So we had a little crew of Miami Heat Beat to talk about, I don't know, kind of the news of the day. You know, there was some reporting going on about the Blazers being interested in Spoelstra, and we kind of talked through it, how we feel about it, how we feel about Spo, the value of coaching, and kind of if that's even a possibility, and all that stuff. I thought it was a good conversation. Wanted to share it with you guys. So here we go. Without further ado, a little bonus episode of the Heat Beat Podcast.
This is a Locker Room production.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
What
a do, baby.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Let's go. Okay, I just tweeted out the little link. I am it's going up on Locker Room. So if you're listening on Locker, if you're listening on Patreon, welcome to our little Locker Room sessions. I think we're gonna settle in on a Tuesday, Thursday for these. Jack and I wanted to kind of talk about the Spo to Portland stuff. Jack, that's kind of been like, it's always kind of been on the back burner. Like, I don't know. I feel like it comes up every once in a while. It's super weird. I don't know. It's kind of like, it was kind of like any time a player is like about to hit free agency, it's like kind of like Durant and DC. It's like, oh, you know, maybe they want to go home. You know, they have work conditional ties in there. So I don't know. Thought it'd be fun to kind of talk about it and stuff like that. Our own Christian Hernandez, who's done some reporting for us and has never been wrong, mentioned today that, you know, he talked to his people and Eric Spoelstra is not in contact with the Blazers. So I think that falls in line with everything that has been reported about it by credible sources in Miami. I know Five Reasons has kind of been in line with what kind of we've reported. So I don't know, Jack, it just kind of feels like this is always going to come up.
I mean, Spoelstra is the best coach in the NBA. So I think naturally every team with a coaching vacancy is going to have them at the have him at the top of their list. He's young. He's, again, there's not another coach in the NBA that's better than him. He's from Portland. It makes sense. But yeah, I mean, Five Reasons, basically. I mean, credit to them for kind of getting ahead of the aggregators, because I think Ethan's been in this business long enough to know how this kind of stuff gets aggregated, gets twisted around. And, you know, they made a point to say it's Portland interested in Spo, not necessarily the other way around. And, you know, I don't think Miami is the best place in the league to be as a coach. Like, I don't think they have incredible assets right now. I don't think they're wonderfully positioned going forward, but I mean, Spo's been here since the start of his career. They went to the finals last year. He has a relationship with the front office and clout with the front office where they're going to do whatever they can to keep him around. So I wouldn't really worry about it unless, you know, you start seeing smoke from Spo's direction, really, because he's really given zero indication that he's at all unsatisfied with the way the Heat operate. You know, if I were him, maybe I use this as leverage to get Pat to, in the front office to stop giving up all the assets.
I mean, he's coaches want to win. I don't know if he cares about picks and everything. So we're bringing it.
He cares about asset management, though. Like, in the long term, I do think if Spo left the Heat, I think he would very quickly see the repercussions of Miami's poor asset management, because the great coaching has covered up a lot of shortcomings. And that comes down to the development, too. Spo's an incredible developmental coach. And it's covered a lot of the shortcomings of the Heat front office, where they just have not cared about getting young talent. And
that's not true. I disagree with that.
What do you mean? They just don't value draft picks.
No. Riley has said, you know, you just need a draft pick every other year. They have valued draft picks. They just value them differently. I mean, they're not interested in, I think that they know that. They value them less because they, you know, they're oftentimes in win now mode. I mean, they don't listen. The years that they were in the lottery, they had those picks, right? It's not, you know what I mean? Oftentimes the picks they don't have are not, you know, they're never in the lottery and they, oh, well, fuck, they don't have their pick and they're in the lottery. It's never like that. And I do think that that's kind of overstated a bit about how, like, they don't care about young players, or I think that they have a certain way of managing their assets for typically when teams are in win now mode. And I think that they have a good track record and they say, well, we can replenish our young player base by, you know, using the G League, by our undrafted guys, and by hitting on our late and middling first round picks, which I think that they've done.
Huh? Like, I don't think Jay Rich, I think like you read stories about how Jay Rich developed, and it's directly tied to Spo's coaching. And I just
and the G League, because he came back a different person from when he during his time with Dan Craig.
Sure, but I also do think Spo is the core of kind of what they do culturally. So, like, if you're talking
but about I don't think culture, Spo wants. Do you think Spo wants a team of young players? Spo wants to win. The coaches
no, but
like
I also
that.
Think even beyond picks, they haven't managed assets well, and that's kind of a detriment to. And Spo's been able to cover up for a lot of that, and it's not just. It's not just picks. It's also the fact that they have not given themselves much flexibility in the past 5 years to do anything worthwhile. And that, you know, Andy Ellisberg's good enough where they're able to pull stuff out of their ass sometimes, but they have not positioned this team in the way where if I'm a coach, I feel like, you know, if I'm Spo, I think I'm pulling a lot more weight than the front office is. And I think Pat gets a lot of appreciation. I know Heat fans love Spo, but I do think this Heat organization is literally nothing without Spo. I think
you're crazy.
Top half of the league.
You're crazy. No,
Spo's the best coach in the NBA.
Yeah, that's fine. I totally agree with you.
One of the five best GMs in the NBA.
Pat's a really good GM, and even if Spo wasn't here, they would not hire a fucking bozo. I think that they would either like promote one of their own guys into a good position with good stability, and or they would find and get a guy. Right. Like, and I think how many bad coaches, even before Spo, how many bad coaches have they had? They've always had good coaches. So I actually really disagree with that. Yeah. Like I'm out on that.
How many coaches in basketball are even a fifth as good as Spo is?
No, that's fair. I mean, I wouldn't say a fifth. I mean, I do think it matters, but I mean, he also got outcoached by Bud in a playoff series. So, like, let's not pretend.
I don't think he got outcoached by Bud.
I think that Bud was a lot more ready, and we talked about this on the pods.
Well,
I really think
he had a lot better players.
No, but I mean, I mean, Jack. I mean, they very rarely went at the drop with the sets that were working. I think that they looked a little unprepared for that. I think they kind of went in to this series kind of expecting the same things that they worked last series when they weren't getting the same kinds of matchups and switches that they were, especially from like those guard screens, and really like they didn't have a lot of counters. I mean, they made a couple moves kind of late into the series, but it was too little too late. It's fine. I mean, it's one of only like two or three series that I think Spo has been outcoached in, and that's a great track record for him. So I it's not a big deal, but I mean, it's not like, you know, they wouldn't find another good quality guy. And I think that the organization always does their best to get players that, you know, that can compete.
Sure. They're a good organization. I don't think they're a bad organization. I think a good coach compared to Spo is a huge drop off, because I think Spo is, again, the best coach in the NBA. Somebody said, I'm acting like this isn't a completely symbiotic relationship between Spo and the front office. I do think it's a complete symbiotic relationship. I also think in the past decade, Spo has been pulling his weight way more than the front office has. Is that fair to say? At the very least, Spo has been incredible over the past 10 years. And I don't think the front office has been incredible over the past 10 years.
They got Jimmy Butler for nothing.
Because they had nothing. Because they set themselves up with nothing.
Oh, you had nothing and you gave up nothing for Jimmy Butler. And that's kind of the situation that they always...
I said past 10 years, somebody saying front office got him LeBron James. That's why I said past 10 years. That was 12.
No, I'm sorry. The Luol Deng signing was really good for them. The front office hit on a lot of draft picks. They hit on a lot of kind of marginal signings.
They've been good.
No, I think you're unfair. I think that I don't like totally disagree with you that obviously like Spoelstra is a more important part to the organization, but I always think that you kind of sell Riley short. And you think you sell the front office short. And I understand the criticisms, and I think it's valid. But to say that, like, it's just a total inequity, that's not true. And Jack, I think we know that Eric Spoelstra is in the decision room as well. It's not like it's like, oh, poor Eric Spoelstra doesn't have a say. We know that that's not true. We know that it's Riley, Andy Ellisberg, Eric Spoelstra, Nick Arison, Mickey, like there is a think tank of people that are making these decisions. So it's not like Eric has no voice in the organization. Oh, poor Eric. You know, that's not fair either. Eric's there. Eric has a say. He is a prominent voice. And I think we have enough information on the organization to know that, hey, listen, they when you're in that room, your voice counts, and they do things by committee. Dan Le Batard has talked about this a lot. I mean, I disagree with what you're saying a bit.
That's what I said up top. I said that's why I don't think Spo ever leaves, is because he does have clout within this organization. And again, I'm not saying the front office is bad. I'm just saying they've had some really great off seasons, and they've had some of the worst off seasons that an NBA team has had in the past 10 years. I would say the 2016 offseason, when people around the NBA talk about bad offseasons, that's what they talk about. And this offseason was not good either. I think the midseason signings are totally they've been fair. Very good. And they've done, you know, great things like getting Jimmy Butler. And I mean, that's what Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg do. And they've drafted well. The Precious pick is yet to be seen whether that's a good pick. But I mean, even if that's a miss, on the whole, they've been a very good drafting team. I don't think this is a bad front office. What I'm saying is Spo has been, I would say, a top five coach every year of the past decade. I don't think the Heat have been a top five front office every year of the past decade.
Yeah, but I mean, if they're not a top five front office, maybe they're six or seven, right? So it's like, again,
in 2016, were they top 10? They were really
That's one or two bad off seasons in a 20 year. What are you talking about? Like, that's so unfair.
Of that, does Spo have?
Eric hasn't been here for 20 years. What the fuck are you talking? Eric hasn't been here for 20 years.
I'm talking about the last decade. Spo's been really great.
What's up, Alf? What's up, Tiff?
Hey guys. I think what happened is Jack went.
Wait, are you a first time caller? I'm a long time listener.
First time caller, long time listener.
Okay.
Jack went a little hyperbolic with this organization is nothing without Spo. Spo is maybe the most valuable person in the organization right now.
Outside of Bam and Jim.
I don't even know. I mean,
I would say they're more valuable. He's more valuable than both of those guys.
We're doing the Brad Stevens thing again.
Let's say he's a coach. The only other person in this organization that can get a first round pick from another franchise is probably Bam. Is that right or wrong?
No, Jimmy will get you three firsts.
At least. Think so?
Drew Holiday went for three firsts.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's fair.
I forgot people are dumb.
I think Spo would get you three firsts pretty easily, too.
But the thing that Jack is doing that I find fun, like, you guys know I love Spo, and, you know, I love the Heat, I love Pat, I love everybody, but I've been really hard on the front office for this offseason because it was bad. But one thing I think that's interesting that Jack is doing with Spo, and I think you kind of touched on it a little bit, Gianni, like, we're giving him a complete pass on the offseason moves. And then on the other side of it, we give him credit whenever these moves work out because, like, all he's constantly taking is, you know, chicken shit and making chicken salad out of it. But if we're going to give him all this credit and we're going to say that he does have influence in offseason moves and front office moves and trades and signings and all this stuff, then we have to give him some of the blame. Like, he does not just make the good moves and then doesn't make any of the bad moves. Like he is part of this whole like Gianni was saying, this brain trust. And if he's part of it, then he deserves some of the blame.
Okay, I want. Yeah.
Go ahead, Tiff.
No, yeah, go ahead, Jack. I'll let you expound upon because I just came in late. So go ahead and expound upon. What
I just want to because Alf said Alf was right. Definitely started off hot. Hyperbolic. It's been one of those days. That doesn't sound like me, but that's what happened. What I am more so saying is I do not think there's a quick recovery to losing Spo. I do not think the organization is going to be able to just like, oh, you know, next man up, you know, it's a slight downgrade, but we'll keep it moving. I do think Spo is pretty much the core of what they do as an organization. And yeah, I mean, I have problems with both what seem to be elements of his scheme these past two seasons. And also, you know, with the front office decision-making, which, you know, like we said, he's a part of. He's definitely not exempt from any blame and he's not perfect, but I do think, you know, you could lose Pat tomorrow. And I don't think that's I don't think that's one tenth as big of a loss as losing Spo.
Tiff?
I agree with that. I do think Spo is more valuable than honestly than any of those players. I mean, realistically, like everybody obviously it looks like wanna trade Bam for Luka. So let Spo coach Luka.
But you can't trade Spo for Luka. The Mavs will hang up on you.
No. Well, listen. But the reality is, though, You don't think Spo was nodding his head when they were like, all right, we got two nickels. Let's go get Avery Bradley. I mean, I'm sure he said, all right, let's see what we can do. But you know what?
Tiff, hold on. But that's not fair because he's also in the room and it's like, we're giving two nickels because we want a chance at Giannis. Like, it's not right, like Eric. I mean, Eric's making those decisions, right? It's not, poor Eric. Pat wanted Giannis. Motherfucker's in the room.
His responsibility at the end of the day. Right. That's, you know, he's in the room, but
he gets a say, but it's not his share. He gets a say, I'm assuming, but at the end of the day, his say is just about as much as you have in your house, G. Like, that's just what it is. He has a say. At the end of the day, he's not making the final decision. Also, he had two nickels. Okay, but like, we got to stop with this whole because they were getting Giannis. That's done. They didn't get him. They wasn't getting him. He ain't coming. They made shitty moves. It's okay. It's okay to.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's okay to be exact about all these things and also say Spo is culpable for not maybe changing the scheme, but yet he also kind of. How was he going to change the scheme when he had what he had? So it's a dual argument. Like, yeah, we don't want Duncan running a million miles, but yet we don't have nobody else.
No, I think Spo had a good coaching season. Like, I'm not the one on the timeline, like, saying otherwise. I just – what I push back on is, you know, oh, poor Eric Spoelstra, look what they gave him. I mean, I don't. I think Eric, like, juicing a top 10 defense out of this group is absolutely incredible. And again, I think he's the best coach in the league. I don't disagree that Eric is more important to the team's success than Riley. I'm not arguing against that, right? Where I push back is when I guess it's just the degrees. I'm like, he's not 1/8 as valuable as Riley. And also, like, the players are more important than Spo. Like, Jimmy and Bam are more important to the success than Eric Spoelstra, because if they get fucking Steve Clifford in here, who's unemployed, they'd still be a really fucking good team and they would be competing for conference titles.
I don't agree with that at all.
Well, you think that if they have Steve Clifford that they're also not going to have a top 10 defense? I mean,
I don't agree with that. I don't even know who Steve Clifford is.
He's not a fucking bozo. He's a good coach. I mean, there's good Steve coaches.
Clifford? He's a great coach.
He was a coach of the Orlando Magic and the
Hornets. Okay. I know.
Yeah. The fat white guy who's kind of pink.
To attempt rephrasing this question one more time, I guess the question would be, I can count a number of seasons where Spo overperformed given what the front office did for him. I don't know how many seasons are there, maybe one, I think, where the front office gave him something and he underperformed with it. I think maybe 2000, like the first big 3 year, you could argue.
That wasn't his fault.
He was in over his head too. That's not totally fair.
But you would argue that the front office did a better job in that offseason than Spo did in his season. Other than that, I think you have plenty of other examples of the front office giving him less to work with. And again, he's in the room for that. We get that. And him, you know, vastly overperforming expectations with a backcourt of Dion Waiters and et cetera.
So yep. I'm confused. Is there a timeline question that's saying, should we fire Spo? Is this where we are?
No. I mean,
okay, I came in late.
This is Jack a non-conversation, honestly.
I don't know.
Spo's not leaving and, you know, Pat's not leaving either, you know?
There's just a lot of hubbub on the timeline about kind of...
A lot of what?
Hubbub.
That's a brand of bubble gum.
Is it? Yeah. There's a lot of. I don't want to say hubbubaloo. A lot of noise. Yeah, hubbubaloo. There's a lot of whispers.
Hey guys, first time, long time.
Welcome.
I just wanted to say that Dwayne's last year, I did feel like Spo underperformed and that team could have made the playoffs. I'll hang up and listen.
That's fair.
And that's kind of a push here because, I mean, they didn't really – I think that was the worst incarnation of the before kind of the three teams that were practically identical. And it's hard. And, you know, it's hard. And a lot of those guys were just done being here, right? Dion and JJ and all. Everybody was kind of over it. So that's – that they're both culpable. And I, Jack, I generally agree with you. Spo is more valuable than the front office. They have oftentimes not done the best for him. And I think the Heat have been more of a home run team, right? They don't take a lot of swings. And if they swing, they miss big, right? You know, KD, Gordon Hayward, all that stuff. And sometimes they connect and they hit home runs and they, you know, get Jimmy Duncan Robinson and get Spo Duncan and Jimmy and Tyler. Like, they give them like, okay, here's this new toy. And it's kind of all or nothing with them. And I think that that just kind of makes it kind of what you're saying, that a lot of the time they're just signing dudes to, you know, on the margins and seeing what sticks. And then when it sticks, it really fucking sticks. So I get what you're saying.
Right. Well, you know what? To be perfectly honest, this whole like Spo this and front office this and that, I mean, we're going to find out this summer just what everybody's made of.
Yeah.
Like, this is the telling time. This time right now that's about to come upon us, that's the telling sign of what the front office is made of.
That's
going to
let
us know if they're going to want Spo to make sugar out of shit.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't doubt that they're going to try. This offseason is going to be different.
I think they are, but I'm saying we're just vacillating back and forth where it's like, well, we're really going to have the show and tell in front of us in a couple of months.
Yeah. I think the best thing that you can say about the front office is that they rarely lose twice in a row, and they lose plenty. Like you said, they swing big and they miss big a lot, and that's part of the game. But I don't think they lose twice in a row. I don't think there are any big moves to make. You know, I don't know if Dame is in the picture. But I don't think you'll get another Avery Bradley, Mo Harkless offseason. And, you know, as much as we can talk about the Heat front office, and, you know, I was the starter of this criticism, if Portland's the other team in question, you know, Olshi's not doing anything for, you know, that, like, Portland's not an organization that's a step up in any way. They certainly have not done anything impressive.
Well, it's not even a lateral move.
Yeah.
It's literally not a lateral move. Like, that's I don't even think he would even consider it, especially with, and let's be honest, like, they got Dame and like everybody else. So you're going to like have to scrap 10 times as harder with Dame in the West. Why would you do that?
And, you know, Dame's great, and I think Dame would be the best player on the Heat, but like, but not by so much that he's not better than Bam and Jimmy combined, you know?
Well, I also just think that it's different levels to it. Like, Dame is an incredible offensive player. That's what you got, an incredible offensive player. Now, if he played alongside Jimmy and Bam, now you cooking with gas. But if you're just in the work of, you're trying to like unload the kitchen cabinet to get Dame, then you're what? You're taking a step back because he's an offensive talent, and you're damn sure as well giving up Bam in that deal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jeremy just said in the chat, Spo for Dame, who says no? I mean, I do think Portland does that deal.
Portland would not do that deal.
If it looks like Dame's not super happy.
No, why would you? If you're going to trade Dame, you trade him for stuff, not a coach.
If you can get the best coach in the NBA, I think that sets you up better than any
pick. You trade for picks and you start rebuilding. No, I disagree with you 100%.
Rebuilding with what, though? Spo is a core rebuilding piece.
No, you...
Spo is an incredible developmental coach.
That's fine. You need the picks because you don't... They Spo are
better than Pop, but fuck out of here. Sorry.
They Spo don't have... They Pop. Don't... Jack, no, I... You need... If you are replenishing your organization after a loss like that, you strip it down and you get picks. You find a young coach and you try to develop... You can't just bring Spo in there. And Spo is a guy who's going to want... You think Spo is going to stick around for a rebuild job?
No, I don't think any of these things are realistic.
No, yeah, but I'm saying that, like, you... But if you don't do that deal if you're Portland.
I mean, probably not realistically, but I'm saying, like, I don't know if having three first-round picks...
No, you would not get three first... You would get five first-round picks for Damian Lillard.
Sure, okay, fine. Five first-round picks... And you're gambling on
plus pick swaps. Plus pick swaps.
with Steve Clifford. Let's say with Steve Clifford.
Yeah, but you don't need a good coach for another 5 years. You just need developmental
coach. You got to develop the picks.
Yeah, but Steve Clifford can do that. You can get a guy in there to help develop. The Sixers had Brett Brown doing it. Like, what are you talking about? The Raptors had Dwayne. The Raptors had Dwayne Casey doing it. The Warriors had Mark Jackson doing it. You'll find a guy. I mean, if you have, you'll find a guy. Like, you're being like you are overvaluing. You are overvaluing a coach over actual physical assets to replenish your team. I disagree.
If Bo was in for Brett Brown during that Sixers, I think the Sixers already have a title if Bo was in for Brett Brown. Do you think he did a good job developing those players? The only players who managed to get any good were the ones who were already really great and did not need any development, which was Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. And
there's a lot of players that left Philadelphia that got worse, like Robert Covington, and there's other dudes that have walked out the door and haven't been as good. So,
sure.
Yeah. Chat saying you're talking about Spo the way that Celtic fans talked about Brad Stevens. Like, okay, we can love Spo Eric.
Is a multi-time champion and is actually the best coach in the NBA. So it's
that's fine. Yeah, and Frank Vogel was a punchline and he won a title. Like, you can get – Frank Vogel was like the Lakers' seventh choice as head coach, right? And as long as you get talent, you know, you can figure it out.
LeBron and Anthony Davis, sure.
Yes, and that's what wins titles. Nobody, not Eric Spoelstra.
I'm not going to argue.
Eric Spoelstra won with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. So, like, what are we doing? Like, talent wins in this league more than coaching does. Coaching is the how you win in the margins. Ty Lue has a ring. Well, Ty Lue's a good coach. Like if you guys talk shit about Ty Lue, Ty Lue's a really good coach. Like, fuck out. Like, stop slandering poor Ty Lue. Yeah, I'm just
how you win. I do not discount the importance of a good developmental coach.
I don't either.
As you, someone who wanted to fire Nate McMillan,
yes,
Nate McMillan's a fine coach.
Yeah, fine coach. Not a playoff coach.
Okay, but what was the point of? What do you mean not a playoff coach? They're almost in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, in spite of him.
Team, with a team that's not like tremendously – is way out talented by the other side. Like this is one of those things where I don't feel like you can be like, oh, like coaches are a dime a dozen. It doesn't really matter. And then be like, oh,
that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that talent's more important than that.
Sure. But then why did you want to fire Nate McMillan off the Pacers when it was clearly a talent issue?
Well, I mean, I didn't say to fire him. What I did say was people acting like it was the greatest travesty ever was the issue. I didn't say that they should fire him.
I don't think anybody was acting like it was a
biggest
travesty. People were saying that black coaches have a significantly shorter leash in this league.
They were saying, how can Nate? Yes, absolutely. That was being said. And also, oh, but Nate's such a good coach. Look what he did with this Pacer team. This is just wow. And I'm like, perfectly reasonable firing.
I mean,
that's all I was saying.
It's a reasonable firing in the sense that, like, anybody can be fired at any time. He didn't deserve to be fired.
I don't think he deserved to be fired, but I don't think it's some sort of crime that they went with somebody else who was kind of
a lot worse,
a different idea person. I mean, that was not a bad hire.
A worse idea.
It was a worse idea.
They went.
But you try stuff.
They went with a person of a different hue, and it didn't work out for them.
Nope. They went with an offensive coach, try to get more out of the Brogdon. Sabonis, right? Nate's more of a defensive coach, so
their offense was stellar this year.
Yeah, their offense sucked. No, but I'm just saying. I mean, you're not going to hit every time. But I guess the bigger point is, and the reason why we start talking about this is that if you're trading Damian Lillard, you trade him for picks, not for a coach. You get a haul of draft picks, not a coach that's probably going to leave in 4 years because he's not going to want to stay for your rebuild job.
I'm also of the belief that if you don't get the coach, it really doesn't matter how many picks you get. I mean, obviously there's a certain level of picks where it doesn't, you know, you can get a LeBron.
Frank Vogel just won a title. Ty Lue just won a title.
They have the greatest player of all time.
So did Eric Spoelstra.
Okay. And then he went to the finals again last year with
tons of people. Yeah. That's Ty Lue went to the finals. Steve Kerr went to the finals.
Look at the rim.
I don't even know if Steve Kerr's a good coach. He went to the finals. Nick Nurse went to the finals and the Raptors picked him out of thin air and won a title.
these are good coaches that you're
missing. Yes, there are good coaches, and there's a lot of good coaches. Eric's not the only good coach. And you don't have to give up your superstar player to get one, is my point.
Sure. What I'm saying is I don't think Portland's going to find any success unless they get a coach. Like I think Terry Stotts
was a good enough coach. Team wasn't.
I don't think they should have fired Terry Stotts either.
Yeah, Neil O'Shea is not. You know what I mean? Like if Terry Stotts got to have if there was a real second option on that team that played defense, maybe we're talking something else. If CJ was someone else, but he's
also
not.
They didn't fire Terry Stotts. Mutually parted ways. Wink, wink.
Yeah, of course. Is he gonna get another job?
All right, guys. I'm gonna mutually part ways.
Yeah, Tiff mutually parting ways. Yeah, this is the Jack and I got. Us. Yeah,
the dumbest conversation we've ever had.
I got to put my groceries away, guys.
Take care, Tiff.
Bye, guys.
Yeah.
Are you guys? I don't see any speaker requests. I keep getting a notification, but it's not working. I think the app's bugging. So if you guys have given speaker requests,
bugging. Nobody wants to talk to us.
Yeah, no, because it comes up. Like
I think my Twitter DMs are broken.
Nobody ever answers me. My Twitter DMs are
in there, so I
mean, do you ever get asked by bots? Like I get the bot hello all the time.
Yeah, I've had my identity stolen 5 times this year just by my different girlfriends who ask me.
Oh, there we go. It works. It is working. What's up, Dave?
What's up, Dave? Guys?
Don't yell at me.
I really want to though, Jack.
Look, I know I'm being stupid, but.
I mean, like, I guess when it comes down to it, this conversation is about what the value of a coach is versus the value of superstars versus, you know, other things up and down your organization. And yeah, I got to agree that, you know, the best coach isn't going to give you what the best player does. That's obvious.
I agree with that.
So, and, you know, I've been listening for a while and the conversation's kind of bounced all over the place. But yeah, I mean, Spo's not leaving. This is a dumb. The whole thing seems really dumb.
It's called content curation, David.
Dumb. It's very dumb. You know,
we have to do a locker room and we settled on this one.
Oh, gosh. I mean,
it was fun. I'm having fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's a spirited conversation. And I think what we glean from it is we kind of take away. Yeah, I think we should just agree that Spo is very good. He's had better years and he's had some worse years. I'm not fully on board that, like, you know, and I guess Jack has kind of walked it back already that it's not like Spo has been carrying the Miami Heat for the past 10, 11 years since, you know, if we're going to cut it off at the past decade, which is an arbitrary thing to do because he's only been coaching here for like what, 13, 14 years at this point?
Well, I'm cutting it off right after the greatest front office move.
If you arbitrarily take your time frame to right cherry pick.
And the Shaq move ever. Too, right? Because the Shaq move was great. And then the move where Riley orchestrated this fucking giant, ridiculous trade.
Also the thing I'm wondering, and I don't think we could possibly know this, is how many of those acquisitions are based off of Spo going, okay, this is the kind of scheme I want to run. Can you get me instead of going, hey, you know, we need a big man. We need a point guard. You're like, okay, you know what? Give me Mo Harkless. Let's go get Trevor Ariza. You know, we'll keep Andre Iguodala on this roster and just kind of going from there. You know, maybe is Spo kind of making, you know, saying to the front office, this is the kind of players I want and I'll make it work, versus is Spo just getting tossed the roster and saying, okay, go win.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit of both. So, Ben and Jack, I'll let you go in a second. Like I think one of the coolest things to look at is the Miami Heat's dribble handoff possessions a game, like for the last 5 years or whatever, and you see how it kind of goes up as Spo, right? And they were a heavy before they kind of got Olynyk and Bam and everything. They were a really heavy, high pick and roll team, pound the ball, more isolations, more pick and rolls, because it kind of suited the roster more. You had Dragic and Wade, even still at his age, was a great pick and roll player. Even the first Deion year, you know, Deion was a good pick and roll player that year, and you could see how the shift kind of started after Hassan was losing his minutes to Bam, and Olynyk was kind of more important to what they were doing. They were playing more dribble handoff stuff with their shooters, with Ellington and everything. And I think it's a little bit of both. I do think that Eric is good enough that they give him stuff, or that he kind of see what they can get, you know, when they shop, and then Eric makes it work. And I don't know the way Eric, I think we know that Eric wants to be as flexible as possible in his positional kind of players, right? He doesn't want to play like traditional basketball. He loves inverted sets, right? That's kind of Spo's MO and motion. That's what he likes. And then everything else around it, how they trigger the sets is kind of player dependent.
Yeah. I'll try for the 50th time to walk back some of what I said and rephrase it. I guess my point with Spo hypothetically going to Portland, which again is never going to happen. So dumb conversation. And the organization not being able to recover it from it super well is, I do not think Spo is a really good coach. I think he's one of the best coaches to ever coach in the NBA. And I think there are numbers that bear that out. And I think some of the flexibility you mentioned is part of, you know, what makes him one of the greatest coaches in the NBA is that I think he can really give him whatever you want and he's going to adapt to it. He's incredibly adaptable. He's still incredibly young for an NBA coach. You know, somebody said Popovich, when I said Spo is the best coach in the NBA, I think Spo is better than Popovich right now. But even if not, Popovich is out the door in like 5 years. Spo has, you know, 20 plus years of coaching left if he wants to, you know? So I do think that's more so where my argument lies, is that Spo is not Brad Stevens. Spo is not Mike Malone, who are both very good coaches and I like a lot. I do think Spo is on but another level.
His name's Michael Malone, Jack.
Mike.
Old Mikey Malone.
Mikey Malone.
Mikey.
Did you see how mad he got?
I love him. I love Mike Malone.
No, but he got mad when they called him Mike Malone. He said Michael, like very firmly. And I think he even apologized.
Okay, but Mikey is a great coach.
yeah, man.
Something real before we.
Okay, well, let's get that. Thanks, Dave. By the way, because we're gonna head out soon. We appreciate you as always, buddy.
No problem.
Thanks.
Let's get Curtis in here, and then let's start heading out because we're running on time. What's up, Curtis?
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, I am of the opinion that if a team were to offer, you know, like multiple first round picks for Spoelstra, I think you should even consider it if Spoelstra wanted to go. I think, you know, he's one of the best coaches in the NBA, but I also think that coaching is not as important in the NBA as, say, you know, schemes and systems in the NFL. And so, you know, I would be even open to it if, you know, it was a right time for a transition and if we got enough assets back. I just want to plant this question real quick. It's a little unrelated, but the news also dropped today that the Heat were interested. This was from Five Reasons Sports. Were interested in everyone's favorite player, Drummond.
This is what I'm talking about.
And so very curious, you know, if we were to get
him. That's a lie. I refuse to believe it.
I believe it.
Let's say, you know, mid-level or even cheaper, you know, would you want him coming in for like, you know, 20 minutes a night to give you extra rebounding and whatever else he brings?
No.
I think Deadman is significantly better. So why not just re-sign Deadman? And then I also think with a guy like Drummond and with the Miami scouting department, you could find an undrafted player who's going to give you more than Drummond's going to give you. I don't like Drummond as a player. I'm sorry. I know that's not like the most controversial take, but yeah, Mr. Deadman has been very good for them. And I don't know why you would want Drummond. Like, what has he done to, is that a crazy take, G, that Deadman's a lot better than Drummond right now?
Deadman will A, come cheaper, B, is a veteran that you know will bring the right attitude to the locker room. Deadman is a person who wants to be here, who is the only person in his fucking exit interview that talked about next season with the Heat in the future. Deadman's a dude that provides us so much fucking content that if he leaves, we're fucked.
Mr. Drummond's Garage just sounds like an 80s sitcom.
No, I mean, well, if Drummond's here, all we're going to do is make fun of him, right? We're just, what we're going to do is pivot from having like fun with Deadman to like being mean to Drummond, right?
Exactly. Oh, by the way, first time, long time.
Drummond as a guy.
I have a serious problem with something you said earlier, G.
Okay.
You said one of the coolest to look at was dribble handoff numbers, and that might be the least cool thing in the world to look at.
It's absolutely one of the worst things to look
at. That might be one of the cooler numbers to look at.
No, it's really no, and there have been points where I'm just scrolling through NBA.com/stats and I'm just filtering year by year and how many handoff possessions that he'd have per 100 possessions.
Well, I think that's sad, and I think you should talk to somebody about that. And don't call it the coolest thing in the world.
No, yeah, and that's why I'm here doing a locker room at 5:20 in front of my computer as I edit some graphics for Heapy. This is the life I chose.
That tracks.
Can we get one last serious question?
Okay.
Like, then we gotta unrelated go. To the Spo Portland stuff, because silly conversation that didn't need to be in the entire episode.
What was the thing you wanted to say?
What, me?
Yeah.
No, I was just trying to field one from the audience, and then.
Oh no! Okay, let's get Smeathan in here, and then we're heading out. Smeathan, what's up, man?
I'm down, G. You don't have anywhere to go. I'm gonna bring up the thing real quick. I think you're both kind of wrong on this, because you said that Spo wouldn't be interested in rebuilding Portland without Dame. I think you're wrong. Okay. I think he wouldn't, because he's going to get the basketball ops. So he'll get control. He'll basically build the franchise from the ground up.
Are they still handing positions like those out? Wasn't Stan like the last one and it went so bad that they're like, yeah, never mind, we shouldn't do this anymore?
I think Spo's one of the few guys you give that job to.
You don't even go to Brad.
Sorry?
Where they get Spo is to say, hey, you're going to be the coach, but you're also going to be running things.
Yeah, and I kind of think that that's why it's important like that the Heat do weigh his decisions. I think they've learned a lot, especially from the Dwayne thing and everything, but I think that they're good at taking care of their people, especially the people that are in suits, right? More so than the guys in shorts and a uniform. So I think that they know not to piss off Spo. I think that he has adequate decision making. Again, not reporting, it's just kind of conjecture and shit. But yeah, I mean, Smeathan, you're right. I mean, if the way to get him over there is to offer him basketball ops plus coaching job, a lot of money, rebuilding a franchise that might be important to him, maybe that's the way. But you know, I don't know.
So Jack,
you brought up that the Heat don't have back to back bad all seasons, you're wrong. 2016 was Hassan and Tyler. 2017 was JJ and Dion.
Did I say never? I think I said he. Rarely. I think I meant to say a lot of things more correctly than I said today. Bouncing back and learning from his mistakes, and then also correcting holes that he digs himself. I would love if he digged himself. Like, I would love if they were just got out of the habit of digging themselves holes, but they are very good at getting themselves out of it. They were in a hole and then they got Jimmy Butler. So I guess that's more so my point, is that I do trust them to course correct whenever they do screw up at some point. You got me there. That is true.
They're good at that.
You guys say they're good at that, which they are, but this is going to be a question asked until the end of time. How much of that has to do with Dwayne? How much of that has to do with Riley and the front office? Because the two times that Dwayne had nothing to do with this, last offseason, which we all know was shit, and the couple off seasons, because I'm giving him credit for Jimmy. Jimmy doesn't come
here to go out. Yeah, he gets credit for Jimmy.
So that gap when he left, that was shit off seasons. So we've had three examples without Dwayne factoring in. They've had some pretty bad offseason.
I don't think it's just Dwayne for Jimmy. I'll say this. I know that Dwayne talked a lot about the Heat way when he was in Chicago, right? To the point that it became like memes, right? And all he did in press conferences was talk about the Heat. And even Jimmy said, man, all you fucking do is talk about this group. The Heat way is something that has been installed and kind of cultured and nurtured by Pat. Right. So the idea of, well, Dwayne helped close, right? Maybe Riley's not the closer, but the reason why Jimmy wanted to be here was because of the way that the Heat run their organization, right? And I do think that that is a Pat thing and it's a Dwayne thing. Cause listen, those banners up there, I mean, to justify your culture, you need parades and confetti and champagne and rings. And Dwayne absolutely delivered on that. He delivered on Riley's culture. And I do think it's a takes two to tango, Jack. I don't know how much you agree with it, but I do think it's both of them.
I could tango just by myself.
You're a badass. I miss dancing. Oh, God. COVID's we're all vaccinated, baby. We're ready to head back out there. We may post this to the main pod feed. I thought this was a lot of fun. Usually we just post them to Patreon. We went really long today and I don't know. I had fun. So maybe I'll post this to the main pod feed as a little bonus episode. There's also a Hangover Time tonight. So make sure you tune into Hangover Time after the Bucks Nets game. So we ran a poll and everybody wanted a post game. So we're doing a post game. Post game show, Bucks Nets. There will be slander either way. You know that Alf and Tiff are coming with the jokes. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. Twitch.tv/MIAHeepy. We have a Miami Heepy podcast. I'm going to announce it now. We're having Rohan Nadkarni on to talk about his piece on Dwayne Wade, the Cube, and everything. It's a great piece on SI.com. Rohan's going to come to talk about it. We're going to have a great time. Hangover Time tonight. And then a Hangover Time, a Drip Drop Friday. And we are also going to have another giveaway tonight on Hangover Time. We're doing a Pride giveaway all month long. So stay tuned for that. We're going to kind of post. This one's a big. There's like five prizes that we're giving away tonight on Hangover Time. So you're going to want to tune in. Listen, there may be a Coach Bud interview, chat's asking. So be on the lookout for that. Hangover Time and all the other stuff. We love y'all. Thanks for supporting everything that we do.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.